The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your host for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. On today's show, Cole Nevin of Rock Bottom Solutions. We're going to talk about employee retention credits. If you don't know what those are, you're definitely going to want to stay tuned, especially if you're a business owner that has 5 to 500 employees, because there's money for you that you're leaving on the table. So don't go away. In this week's tech news, there's quite a few stories of interest. Of course, NVIDIA stock jumped over 28% in trading because it had crushed its earnings report. It was expected to earn $6.1 billion for the period and instead earned $6.5 billion. And that was on strong demand for its equipment, chips related to artificial intelligence, just showing you what a strong sector it is. In a related story, Intel then revealed that by 2025, it will be coming out with their chip that powers artificial intelligence. And I want to just mention again that AI is growing gangbusters. It is here to stay. I'll be talking about that at the end of this show to talk about the difference between fine-tuned models and generative AI. Also in this week's tech news, the G7 leaders confirm that there has to be a governance model on generative AI technology. The leaders of the group of seven said on Saturday that the adoption of technical standards is something that they need to do to keep AI trustworthy for the constituents of their economies, and that the governance has not kept pace with the rate of change in how these technologies are growing. They expressed major concern over how AI can be misused and that deep fakes, synthetic media, which means that they'll be creating fake and realistic audio video content, is going to be a concern for all nations of the world. And our final news, the Chinese EV manufacturer NIO said that it's going to invest $50 million in a nuclear fusion startup called Helion. And that is with the promise of creating clean and abundant energy. And that is the tech news of the week. Welcome back to the show. Once again, my special guest today is Cole Nevin, who is representing Bottomline Concepts. And as I did the intro, today we're talking about employee retention credits. Now, the good thing is, whether you heard about it or not, I'm not the expert in this, and Cole isn't either. But Cole actually is very knowledgeable in how to get people educated about employee retention credits and how you can get up to, on average, $200,000 per application back in employee retention credits, with the average employee being at $26,000 each. So that's interesting to you, then you're going to want to stay tuned. So welcome, Cole. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it very much.
So what's great is that now that I'm in my sixth season, because of the things that have happened since pandemic and the recession that's going on right now, I've been doing a lot of content to make sure people are aware of these special programs, because one of my most favorite episodes that I've done is called Startup Survival. And I know that we're not only talking about technology startups today, but that really in this uncertain market, that if you're a small business owner, a mid-sized business owner, a nonprofit, or a startup, you're really concerned about your financial footing. And there's just so much untapped money that people aren't even aware about. So thanks again for being here.
Yeah, for sure. You're right. It's like, it's unprecedented times, as far as I could tell, in the business world. It's just the money that's available is really bizarre. I think it's, I've never seen anything like it. And I think it's an unusual time, but it's an incredible time, especially for businesses that you know, can take advantage of some of the billions of dollars that are kind of sitting there available in this credit and all others as well, for sure.
Yeah. So thanks a lot. So just to summarize before we get started and getting your story today, we're going to cover what the Employee Retention Credit is. We're going to talk about some of the success stories that are happening in real time. And then we're also going to make sure you're aware of how to apply for these retention credits, because this is money that is basically free to you that you're not even aware about receiving. So we'll give website links. We'll let you know how to apply online. But before we do that, Cole, this isn't like a normal career path. I mean, these are programs that are started by the government. I've had the SBA on my show before. I've had the Minority Business Development Agency. We talked about PPP loans and all those good things. What is, or how did you get involved with Employee Retention Credit? What is your story?
Yeah, no, thanks. I had been working in marketing for about 23, 24 years and worked with a lot of nonprofits, a lot of businesses, mostly small, some medium sized, but mostly really small business and nonprofits is really who I spent a lot of time with, like hundreds of churches and then lots of small businesses, mom and pops. We've done pretty much any different category and industry of business I've worked with. And so pretty diverse that way. And last year I had a friend that knew I worked with nonprofits and some small businesses. And he said, he called me, he's a financial advisor, and he had called me. I hadn't talked to him for a couple of years. He'd moved out of state. And he just told me a little bit more about the Employee Retention Credit. And right at that time, it just hit me at a time when I was seeing the amount of money that was going out, that was being, you know, essentially handed out to businesses, to nonprofits, to companies that I wasn't crazy about and companies that I was. But and when he told me about this, I was like, man, it'd be amazing to help funnel as much of that as possible to local, small, you know, small businesses that, you know, that qualify and that kind of a thing. So I just immediately got really excited about it. And I it seems like the more I learn about it, it just seems like an absolutely, it's a bizarre thing for businesses to be able to have this, these huge amounts of money that are just available to them as a credit, you know, hence the Employee Retention Credit. So it's a really neat thing. I'm super excited about it. I think it's just an incredible opportunity for nonprofits and businesses alike, for sure.
Well, thanks a lot, Cole. And I really appreciate that people need to think beyond just for profits, that this is something available to nonprofits as well. I'm involved with a number of boards, and I think that's very helpful. In terms of, because you used to be a Silicon Valley native or resident, what have you been seeing beyond Silicon Valley in terms of these types of programs and its adoption?
You know, it's interesting because as you get out into the more rural areas, it's just a lot less known. Like I know people are hearing on the radio, you're might be seeing different things. You might be getting calls about, like, you know, ERC. And so it's kind of a popular, you know, something to listen to, something that to hear about right now, like in the Bay Area, especially Silicon Valley. But as you get out into the more rural areas, it's a lot less, people are a lot less aware of it, really, like businesses, small businesses, churches, nonprofits. They just, some, many of them that I've talked to have actually never even heard of it. And you might think that's bizarre, like, how, you know, where have you been? But that's just when it gets out there, there's just different things happening and different focuses. And so, yeah, so I'm excited to really help some of the small town businesses surrounding the Bay Area. And of course, also for sure, those that are, you know, right in the heart of Silicon Valley and throughout for sure as well.
Got it. Well, just the 1 minute we have left, and we'll go back in our next segment. Why don't you give a high level description of what the ERC is?
Yeah. So basically the Employee Retention Credit, and it's an interesting thing because a lot of people, the first thing they may think if they don't know if they qualify, they may say, well, you know, I didn't lose any revenue in 2020 or 21. So I probably don't qualify, but it's not based strictly on revenue. It's actually like an employee. So for those businesses that sustained these times and retained their employees, then now there's this credit/grant that is offered to them as kind of a reimbursement of the money that they paid out. So that's kind of the nutshell right there.
Got it. Well, thanks for kicking off the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about in deeper depth what the ERC or the Employee Retention Credit is. We're going to talk about some of the tangible success stories that have happened for people that maybe didn't know about it and were able to capture that. As we mentioned, it's usually on average $200,000 per company or applicant. And we're going to talk about how you can apply. So if you have any questions or comments, you can email us at info@svn.biz. Today we're with Cole Nevin, Bottom Line Concepts.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Hey, Insiders. Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. On today's show, I have Cole Nevin, who's representing Bottom Line Concepts. As I discussed in the earlier segment, that because of the economic uncertainty, we're giving a lot of tools and resources available to you that is pretty much free money if you're a business owner or you're in charge, responsible of a nonprofit. So, Cole, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, thank you.
So I wanted to kick off with this question: is what is possible, or what on average is possible, the employee retention credit?
Yeah, so it's a lot of averages because every business is different and the wages that are paid out. But one of the things about the employee retention credit is it's, and I mentioned like in the previous segment there, that it's like a reimbursement. It's called a reimbursement. It's called a credit. It's also a grant, but it's all based on what the business or entity paid out in wages and in taxes and all of that. So it's really, essentially, I mean, some people say, well, it's basically your money that you paid out that they're, you know, crediting, giving you back, kind of a thing. So it's kind of like getting your money back, essentially. But the averages are really interesting because if people did take advantage of the PPP programs, which I know you've talked about in the past, if they did that initially, you had to kind of choose. And in those first years, there was some, you had to make a choice of the PPP or the ERC, and it was a much more complicated qualification process. But over the last couple of years, a lot of changes have taken place with the employee retention credit, making it much more accessible, much more available to more businesses and nonprofits as well, for sure.
Got it. Well, thanks, Cole. Thanks for making sure we're all aware that even if you thought during the pandemic that PPP or ERC was complicated, that in the last 2 years, things have made it more streamlined. And we'll get back to that in just a moment. So thank you for the answer.
Yeah.
So getting back into what happened in the last 2 years to make it easier, why should people, even if they thought they didn't qualify, how or why should they look into it now?
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing because statistically with our company, with Bottom Line Concepts, we found that when businesses thought that they did not qualify and even were told sometimes maybe even by a CPA or something, that they didn't qualify, that 80% of the time they actually do qualify. And a lot of it has to do with, there's just, you know, again, there's hundreds of pages. It's not a simple process and submission to the IRS. It's something that I feel like is, you know, it's an incredible opportunity, but you want to be careful with kind of how you do that because it's a lot of money that's on the table and you just want to cross your T's and dot your I's, so to speak, you know, when processing that. But so initially it was strictly based on revenue. That's kind of the nutshell, is that it was based on revenue, and you had to have like a 50% reduction in revenue from 2019 to 2020 and then an additional reduction in revenue in 2021. Over the last year or so, a lot of things changed, and especially for businesses that have five or more employees. So that's really where things open up tremendously for businesses that may have been turned down in the past, didn't qualify before. Now they can qualify when they have five or more employees. It makes it, there's just some ways to qualify that make it a lot easier to qualify for those businesses, for sure.
That's great. So in terms of, I picked up on the complexity that's involved with this. I'm a small business owner, but it's a consulting firm. It's a completely different configuration. Walk me through this complicated process and how does Bottom Line Concepts kind of streamline that for me?
Yeah, it's a great question because there's a lot of small companies. I've heard some kind of bad stories as far as people maybe being taken advantage of in various things with fees. But Bottom Line Concepts has been around since 2009. They've worked with hundreds of Fortune 500 companies. And so they are an established, solid firm. And then that's really why they've been able to be so successful with this ERC program. And that's why I think they're probably the number one in the nation as far as ERC firms. And they have the resources to be able to kind of ensure that the customer is going to be taken care of to not only get the largest amount of money with the credit, but also just kind of in the long term to be to have a company like this that's backing what is being presented to the IRS. So I think that's important. There's tax attorneys, there's CPAs, there's, you know, multiple people that are going to be looking at every single individual file that goes through, whether it's a, you know, a 5-person kind of small business or a 500-person small business. And really this, one of the things I didn't mention earlier was that this is available essentially for 5 employees up to 500 employees. So once it gets past that point, there's other programs, but it doesn't fit within the guidelines for the ERC.
That's great to know. And so in terms of where Bottom Line Concepts fits in, because you're getting all these requests, what's the advantage of using Bottom Line versus just doing it, attempting to do it on my own or attempting to do it with my accountant?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the one thing is that these are professionals that are have been trained in this and that it's what they're doing every day. So they're the tax attorneys, the CPAs that are part of Bottom Line Concepts. It's like they're in it deep every single day on every file. So it's a lot different than an accountant. Not that an accountant can't do it. There's some awesome, I mean, there's so many awesome accountants and but it's just a different thing. It's not something that accountants are doing every single day. And there may be some that are doing it every day now, but it's the strength with Bottom Line Concepts, I believe is kind of an important thing just because you've got the expertise that is just not really available. You also have kind of the reputation that is just, it doesn't exist with a lot of, with a lot of other companies. So Bottom Line is definitely a great source. The other thing too, is I know I've heard some companies that where they had to pay a certain amount, several thousand dollars up front, and then didn't even know for sure if they were going to qualify. And the way we have it set up with Bottom Line Concepts is there's nothing due throughout the entire process until the business actually receives their check from the IRS. And then there's a percentage that would be paid back. And it's kind of it depends on the size of the company, how big the percentage is, but it's I think it's a reasonable setup and it's awesome. And that the business doesn't have to, there's no obligation. There's no, there's nothing due up front for the business, zero out of pocket expenses for the company to take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. In comparison, I've had a company named Ardeus on a couple of times. Ardeus, which was acquired by Gusto, their CEO Joshua Lee. They're doing R&D tax credits. And so they're set up in a very similar fashion, which is the complicated process of trying to become a tax expert. Usually you have to pay up front to your accountant for the time involved and no guarantee whether they're going to find or recover funds or not. And so people are just like, why do I want to waste the time or the money for something they're not sure of? So in terms of what you're doing and what a company like Ardeus for R&D tax credits is doing is really beneficial because there's no risk up front, which I think is something that makes it very interesting. And then in essence, you're paying a success fee on the back end for once the recovery is claimed.
Yeah, exactly.
So going back, I heard you say that there was a time where if you already received PPP, you weren't entitled to ERC, and then something changed the last couple of years. What would give us comfort that what happened there? What is that all about?
Yeah. So there's essentially some of the changes that happened were to allow more companies to qualify. And originally it was based on really strictly revenue based. And that's why people kind of think along those lines, because that is really how it was. Whereas now it's more so for retaining the employees through this time, we're going to, you know, allow you to take advantage of this kind of stimulus package almost is the way that I kind of think of it, because it's part of the CARES Act. It's part of the, you know, stimulus plan. And so they set aside this, you know, these billions of dollars within that CARES Act to provide here. And so what happened though, was that businesses that weren't showing like enough loss per quarter in 2020 and 2021, they just didn't qualify. Whereas now, What the biggest change is that even if you increased revenue, there's just multiple other ways that a business can qualify. And essentially, if there was any disruption in regular business practices, and then if you had a change in business hours, if you had a supply chain issue, if you had, there's a big list of different questions that like one of the experts, when you're going through the process, starting the process, that they'll ask you. And if you answer yes to pretty much any of those questions, then you qualify. So really most businesses right now with five or more employees that kind of survived through these last 3 years would probably qualify. I mean, really, most businesses would qualify. And then it's a matter of like, who's going to handle that for you? And that's where I think Bottom Line Concepts comes in as a great option, just because of the stability, the background, the strength involved. And then also kind of knowing that nothing's going to get pushed through that shouldn't get pushed through. And I've heard a lot of stories about that kind of a situation. And then also that you're going to be able to get the most possible money within the credit that's reasonable, that can be justified, and that can, you know, can be approved essentially.
Thanks, Cole. Very informative. And in our next segment, we'll help people figure out how to apply. Before we do, where do they find you? How do they actually get a hold of you?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, directly on my cell phone would be a great option. If that's fine, is 530-444-0067. And then we can provide some website links, I'm sure, if that's okay, to probably link over. And that way it goes directly to the best, you know, landing page right there.
Got it. All right. Well, if you have any questions or comments, just email us at info@svin.biz. And we'll take your information down. We'll forward you over to Cole. And we're going to be right back to tell you how you can actually apply.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. On today's show, we have Cole Nevin of Rock Bottom Solutions. We've been talking all about the employee retention credit, and we've been talking about how there's money on the table if you are a business owner or a nonprofit, maybe a faith-based organization that has 5 to 500 employees. There is an average of up to $26,000 per employee to be claimed back, more if you actually have more in salaries, and that the average applicant is getting $200,000 back in government credit. So you definitely don't want to go away. On this week's Cyber Tip, I'm going to talk again about the growing problem of open source attacks against supply chains and companies related to supply chains. And so we use open source because it's cheaper and more flexible than using a closed platform of whatever. But what causes problems is that these open source systems actually have open source hackers. And so if your main business is not, say, technology, you are not an IT or technology company, yet you have a massive technology investment. If you don't have the proper resources, you could be at risk. And why that is because open source, by its nature, being highly flexible, can be hacked pretty easily. A good consumer analogy of this is between an Apple iPhone and a Google Android system. It's not that one is better than the other. The Android device is considered very flexible, but then that also has many more opportunities to be hacked because of how flexible that system is. So here's the cyber tip. If you're using open source components, or if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask your technology team if you're using open source components. And when I mean components, that's software that are actually used to run your systems or critical infrastructure. And if you need to have them patched, make sure that you're in the most current version of these open source softwares that people or community in the community are keeping up to date. Verify the integrity and authenticity of every software package and all of its related artifacts before downloading or installing them. And that's just like if you're doing that on your PC. If you're downloading something, make sure you use a tool like a virus checker in order to make sure that it's not injected with malware or payload. Put in access controls and encryption to make sure that it's hard for people to access and get to. It's more money, but you should be using monitoring and auditing software to make sure that your computers and your network are behaving exactly as you intended it to. And then you always need to make sure that your development resources, whether in-house or contractors, are up to date on the latest and greatest risk mitigation strategies and package and tools to ensure that they're also responsible for keeping your environment safe. And that is the cyber tip of the week. Welcome back to the show. Once again, I'm joined with Cole Nevin, who's representing Bottom Line Concepts. Today's show, we've been covering the employee retention credit. I know, as an advisor to many startups and also being involved with a number of nonprofits, that with the given market conditions that people are very concerned about, extending runway, keeping their operations going. And what's happened since pandemic, even at, during pandemic with PPP, is that there's a lot of government programs that people just aren't aware of and that people can actually get funding for. And so thanks a lot, Cole, for being here as we talk about the employee retention credit.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me, for sure.
So, you know, one thing I wanted to start off with is in this segment is that we've thrown a lot of numbers around, and I just want to make it really tangible and succinct so people can understand what funds are available, this, you know, concept of free money from the government. So let's start off with, what are the averages that you've seen and how can companies capture those per employee and for the different type of programs that were available?
Yeah, for sure. So the basically, and it kind of depends. One of the first questions that I usually ask people in a business owner is if they did PPP, because that is going to be a determining factor of what can they can expect out of the employee retention credit. So essentially, if they did two rounds of PPP, then across the board, the average that they can expect to receive back as a credit, as a grant, is about $10,000 per employee. And that's just the average across the board. There's Silicon Valley has higher wages than a lot of areas, so those averages are a lot higher. In fact, I know some businesses that got quite a bit more than that per employee just because they pay their people well. And it's, you know, it just is based on essentially what was paid out. So, but across the board, the average is like 10,000 per employee when you've done two rounds of PPP. If you've only done one round, the average goes up to about 14,000 per employee. And then if you haven't done any PPP, then the average is between 20 and 26. The maximum is like 26,000. And that's what you see, you know, in various places is, you know, get 26,000 per employee. And that's the max if you have not done any of the PPP programs.
Great. So just to summarize, if you've not done any PPP, you can get up to the maximum $26,000 per employee. Yes. If you've gone through two rounds of PPP, then you're eligible for $10,000. And if you've done one round, $14,000.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I've seen on bottom lines that they say that the average applicant who receives funding is about $200,000 per applicant.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, if somebody has five employees, they're going to be, generally speaking, a bit less unless they have huge wages or something like that.
Exactly.
But usually, yeah, it'll be a bit less. And then a lot of businesses are, you know, are getting 700,000, a million, 2 million. It's an incredible amount of money that, again, that's being given out as, you know, part of this stimulus plan for sure.
Yeah, and because of the different segment, I do want to mention again, this is just not for-profit businesses, but nonprofits, including churches, other faith-based organizations qualify as well. So I think also, especially since a lot of faith-based organizations aren't, quote, in the business world, they don't realize these programs even exist.
Yeah, that's true for sure. And, you know, something on that note, too, is the program, it opens up a lot more as far as flexibility and being able to be approved for the program when you have five or more, or five to 500 employees. But even if you have two or three or four employees, you could still qualify. You just have to show a little bit more. The documentation has to be provable for the reduction in revenue. Then it is a lot more strict on the reduction of revenue that you see. So if you had a really tough time, but you survived, then you might qualify anyway, even if you only got two or three employees.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason why Cole, who represents Bottom Line Concepts, we covered in the last segment, is that it is complicated if you don't do this every day. It's not something that an average or normal small business owner is going to have any skill in unless they happen to be an accountant or tax accountant. And so you could lean on your own accountant, and they may or may not be aware of these programs. So that's why we have Cole from Bottom Line Concepts in order to help you understand that these programs exist and that if you choose to use their service, it's risk-free. They don't get paid until the recovery happens. And that was another barrier we talked about, that a lot of times companies are kind of afraid to dive into this just because it is a time suck in terms of trying to figure out whether you qualify. It's hard money suck when you have to pay your accountant or other financial resource in order to see if you legitimately qualify or not.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And it reminds me of a friend of mine just told me just the other day that he did his taxes for a long time by himself. And then a few years ago, he decided to hire a CPA and a firm. And so just right off the bat, they saved him like $13,000 just off of, you know, one little aspect of what he was doing. And so, I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it with bottom line. It just, it really can save you money and get you really more money to have people that, you know, are truly experts and truly professionals as far as, you know, what they do. So that's, yeah, kind of along the same lines right there.
Got it. Well, stay tuned to the end of the segment in a few minutes so we can give out information how to get a hold of Cole and see if you qualify. So, Cole, what are some of the other success stories that you've heard of in terms of the 5 to 500 employees, and based on a calculation on the more that you've paid an employee, the more that you're eligible to receive back? What are some of the big wins that you've heard of?
Yeah. So, I mean, really, my favorite people to talk to are businesses where they didn't think they qualified, or even there was one just recently where he had been denied a couple times because they couldn't produce the forms because he used a payroll organization and they had to produce certain forms. And so other companies weren't able to get that and to put it all together. So with bottom line concepts, they were able to do it. So he is in line to receive his funds and it's awesome. I love it, especially when like it's a nonprofit. That was a for-profit business, but a lot of times nonprofits are the same. They just don't think they qualify because the donors, you know, came out in great numbers during those tough years and they supported them, which is awesome, but they still had to jump through all these hoops. They couldn't get their supplies and testing and all these different things, you know, for various situations, depending on the type of nonprofit. And so it's awesome to me when a business, you know, didn't think they qualified. And then we can show them that, yeah, you had to change this. You did that. You had hours different and all these different ways. And then they actually do qualify. And it's wonderful to see that kind of thing, because it's, you know, again, it's money that goes back to that business as part of the stimulus plan kind of thing. And it's just, they can thrive. And it's a enormous benefit for some of these, especially on the smaller side, but even some of the bigger businesses. I mean, they're taking bigger hits. So they might be, you know, so far behind that they need that $1 million, you know, kind of pump into their economy, I guess, to help keep them on their feet kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And there's kind of a who's who of people on there, like Rolex and Boston Red Sox. I'm looking at the site, and Milwaukee Bucks and Martha Stewart Living and GNC, Domino's Pizza. Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that you actually serve both large companies and small companies are pretty interesting.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's awesome.
All right. Well, with just the last couple of minutes of this segment, what are some of the thoughts that you felt like in terms of your empowerment of people who've been working on this?
You know, one of the things I was going to mention is, as far as like people starting, I'd love for people to know that it's very simple to see if you qualify. Cause I know sometimes people, they hear about it, they don't know, and they probably don't qualify. And like you said, like a time suck, and they just don't want to waste a bunch of time on something that's not even going to benefit them. So we have it set up, and this is one of the things I think is super important, to where, you know, we can have a conversation. I'd love to talk with anybody out there and just try to get a little conversation, you know, as far as that goes, and just to see if, you know, if I think you'd qualify. But then we would set up a call with an expert. It's like a 15-minute phone call. And really within 5 to 10 minutes, you would probably know pretty much for sure if you qualify. And then they'd start to figure out numbers and stuff like that from there. But really, it's like a 10 to 15 minute call, no cost. And it's just a great thing to just find out what your situation is. And if you didn't qualify before, I'd love to see if we can, you know, make that happen now.
All right. So how do they get a hold of you?
So, you know, the best way would probably be the link through your website to reach me that way. And there's a form that you can fill out and set an appointment right on there. You could also just call me directly. And really, the direct line to me is 530-444-0067. And that's a great way to contact me just directly. It's my cell phone. You could reach me anytime, 530-444-0067. And you could text me as well right there, and certainly let me know that you heard about it on Silicon Valley Insider for sure.
All right. So Cole Nevin of Bottom Line Concepts, thanks again for being on the show today, teaching us about the employee retention credit. If you have any questions or comments, if you didn't write Eric's number down, just email us at info@svna.biz, and we will have Eric back on to talk about this again. So thanks again. We will, screw that all.
Oh, no, it's all right. Yeah.
I'll fix all that. Well, Cole, it's been great to have you on the show to talk about Bottom Line Concepts. If you did not hear his phone number, just email us at info@svna.biz, info at svin.biz, and we will have Eric back on to give us updates, because it's just something really important and that you're not even aware that you can get access to. So thanks again, Cole.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you, Keith, for having me. Appreciate it. And yeah, look forward to seeing who we might be able to help.
Great. And don't go away, because I'll be back to finish the show on the pivot.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo.
Hey, Insiders. Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. On this week's show, we are talking all about the employee retention credit. If you're a business owner or somebody who runs a nonprofit, you should be looking into that, because you might be leaving money on the table. As we discuss with Cole Nevin of Rock Bottom Solutions, on average, the average applicant reclaims $200,000, up to $26,000 per employee. So if you have any questions about that, email us at info@svn.biz. We'll get you connected with Cole and his team. Up next, I want to take a moment to talk about the difference between generative AI like ChatGPT and fine-tuned AI, which is something that doesn't get as much press right now, but I think it's really important to differentiate on. And so you're probably hearing a lot about generative AI, ChatGPT, Google's Bard, Microsoft Bing, which is powered by GPT-4. And these are just all acronyms if you're not sure what I'm talking about. But just as a recap, in the last 6 months or so, the world's been taken over by storm by generative AI. So these tools that can sound very humanistic and seems like they're experts in everything, such as math problems, computer coding, text, chatbots. And, you know, the key thing here is generative AI is truly generating content based on a prediction engine on things that it expects to see or knows what people expect to see. And it's not to say that it's good or bad, but I think too much emphasis has been going on the generative side and not enough on the fine-tuned side. And what I mean by fine-tuned is, how do you take a generative AI-like experience and make it into a custom AI model? So if you're following the news, companies like Samsung and Apple have banned ChatGPT for internal use in their companies. The main reason as Samsung would say is because they've accidentally leaked data out into the public. So there's been HR and personnel confidential information. There's been an engineer that wanted to check their source code. And by checking their source code in a public way, you're uploading company secrets into the cloud. So these are totally unusable use cases for legitimate companies. And so Apple, although they're going to enter the market themselves, so maybe it's just an excuse, they just declared that nobody can use ChatGPT within their company as well. And then one of the executives at a keynote for Adobe had said that ChatGPT and generative AI really isn't usable in the long term for most corporations. So just in summary, generative AI models are capable of creating new and original content, but that's off a prediction engine, off what people expect to see. And fine-tuned AI models are specialized versions of generative AI that have been trained on specific data sets or tasks. And so why that's important is, people will say, hey, ChatGPT originally was on 180 billion parameters, and now it's on a trillion or more parameters. That's great. But to have that many parameters means that it's a public data set. And when you interact with that interface, Bard, ChatGPT, Bing, you are still contributing whatever your prompt is, which is the command you're giving it, the query you're giving it, to a public data set. And so where we think, especially my own consulting firm, Guardian Insight Group, we think that the important measure for the usefulness of these AI tools are when companies and people start embracing fine-tuned AI models. So when we talk about a consumer, or maybe somebody who's very interested in creating their own skill on what looks and sounds like them in their writing style, that could be something where, hey, I want cliff notes on a book, but I want it in that I read it and that I discussed it and I summarized it. That's all possible on a consumer level. If we think about it on an enterprise level, I'm a company that has specialized audits by the government or by some agency or some other method, and we have to write reports, and the people that write the reports always or often have factual errors in the way that they've constructed the report, or it sounds like a factual error when it's not a factual error, it's just really a clerical error. And being able to create custom AI to track all these things, to guard you, you know, in essence, a way to help you write that report and help you to audit that report, that's what would be useful for custom AI. There are definitely limitations on both sides. On the generative AI side, you may come up with what sounds like factual information, but in essence is just completely fabricated or wrong because it's relying on whatever public information is available out there. Sometimes the content's completely irrelevant, and there's been cases where students have turned in reports without even taking out the disclaimer that they've been using generative AI and have left this statement that says, this report was generated by ChatGPT or Bard or what have you. Also, there's a lot of ethics and property rights and intellectual property questions that come about when using public generative AI. A fine-tuned model, on the other hand, is very precise, reliable data. It's data you provide that you want to be tested in a specific domain, and it can produce very high-quality content, and it will meet the expectations under the parameters you've set. But at the same time, you might, in terms of the investment, if you're to do this on your own, the investment could be millions, if not more, depending on how large you want it to be. And so there's some cost associated with starting up your own AI department. If this is of interest to you, definitely just drop us a line at info@svn.biz to find out more about what the difference between custom AI looks like and how it can be applied. And we will continue to have more content on this because it is currently what is very much into the conversation in technology and investments and, of course, and how we apply it to your work and to your lives. So once again, if you have questions or comments about generative AI or fine-tuned AI models, just email us at info@svn.biz and we will see you next week.
Listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. For questions or comments on today's program or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN. If you missed any portion of today's program or would like to listen to past programs, you'll find the podcasts online at svin.biz. That's svin.biz. Be sure to listen again next week at this time for more Silicon Valley Insider right here on this station.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.